irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, March 22nd, and I'm back here with Kelsey as always, folks.
Yeah.
You can count on us. You can adjust. I mean, you can adjust your watches by us, actually.
Yeah.
And your calendar, because we're always here for your listening pleasure.
At 10 a.m. Oh, my gosh. I'm having a hard time waking up this morning.
I know. Me too. I went to sleep at 3, actually.
Oh, no.
I couldn't turn off my mind. And my brain was still going at 3 o'clock. It took me like half an hour to fall asleep or something.
Really?
Just too much going on. I took my dad to a lecture last night, which was very interesting. You know?
That's fun.
They were talking about, it's like, it was an Israeli guy and it was for Israelis here. And he was talking about like, sort of like went into history and the Bible and sort of like tied together the past and the present and the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very interesting, you know. So we enjoyed it. I liked the opportunity to take my dad out a little bit. And we met some people too, you know. So it was really nice.
Good.
And it was a smart guy that was giving the lecture. And you know what the amazing thing is? People asked him, why are you doing this? You know, it didn't cost anything. It was at the community center. And they went out and bought some coffee and cookies and things like that. So, and put an ad in the paper. So someone asked him, you know, what's in it for you? And he says, I love to talk, you know, I love to teach and things like that. So that was cool, right?
That's a good thing, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and that's why we have a radio station here, because people love to talk.
I know.
So there you go, you know. So maybe he'll do a show on the station too, who knows, you know.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But it's very interesting, you know, when you're Jewish and you learn about Jewish history and stuff. It's very interesting, you know, stuff that people don't know about, don't learn about. Even most, maybe Jewish people don't know. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on, and it's very interesting. So I urge everybody to go back to the roots, you know, no matter what religion you are or race or anything, and understand where you come from, you know. Understand your roots. I think it's very important. Unfortunately, for Judaism, there's a lot of like cross marriages and things like that, you know. So
that's unfortunate in your
eyes. Interreligion. So, well, I'll tell you why it is.
Okay.
Well, at least for the Jewish religion, because right now more than ever, Judaism has to fight hard to keep people in the religion. Okay, now. People may not want to stay in it, but the thing is, it's very, survival is at stake if people don't remember who they are, you know. So, I'm not judging it. All I'm saying is it's not good for the religion, because if people intermarry and stuff, then their offspring will not be Jewish anymore and things like that, you know. So for people that's just a few millions in the world, it's important to stay together and things like that. Because also so many were persecuted and in the name of this religion, you know.
Yeah.
So what do you feel? Yeah, you're
well,
like
that's
eager to say something.
Yeah, well, that's fascinating. Because so what if you fell in love with someone who's not Jewish? What would you do?
Well, I have before.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I have before, but we didn't get married.
Oh.
We didn't get married, yeah.
So you wouldn't marry someone who's not Jewish?
At that time, no. Now I probably would.
Uh-huh.
But again, well, you know, at least I already produce Jewish children and stuff who more or less know who they are, although I expect them to intermarry too. It's just that we don't. And I mean, who am I going to blame? You know, me? I don't know. I mean, you know, I mean, I was raised in a pretty traditional home. But I don't really practice the religion.
Right.
You know, I mean, for me, it would be sort of like insincere to tell my kids, you got to be doing this
exactly,
and I don't.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, so I moved away a little bit from, not my religion. I mean, my heritage is very strong. I will never lose that, mm-hmm. like who I am and who my people are.
Sure.
You know, but as far as practicing the religion, yeah, you can't count on people like me to continue those traditions. But at the same time, I realize how important it is, you know, because, you know, it's like Jews fight so hard not to be killed by enemies, and then we're going to, like, destroy ourselves from within. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying, you know. I mean, communities should stay together if they want to survive. And I'm not judging. Look, people fall in love all the time. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do, you know? I mean, it's hard to tell somebody, stop loving this person or don't stay with them or whatever. So I don't know. But if you start a family, intermarriage can also create problems for the kids, you know, identity problems, unless the parents decide no religion at all in the home. Mm-hmm. You know? But I don't know. Is that a good thing, a bad thing? I don't think religion is a bad thing at all. I mean, it keeps families and communities together, you know. So, except, of course, when it's extreme, you know.
Right.
Every religion in its extreme is bad and violent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. How are you doing today, Kelsey?
I'm good.
Yeah? Yeah. Did you work last night?
No.
No, you didn't, huh?
I didn't.
But you posted a nice racy video this morning,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Tell us about that one. I mean, I'm waking up to see this video of Kelsey, like, just about kissing this gorgeous guy in black and white. And I'm like, what the hell's going on here? So tell us.
I know. No, that was an ad I did for Dior few months ago.
Oh, a few months ago. So it's not recent.
No, it's not recent. It just was released. So
I see. Okay.
Allowed.
So the money's going to start flowing in. Oh, wow.
So I was allowed to post it. But yeah, it's really, and that's the shorter version. They actually did like a 30-second version and I think maybe even a 45-second version.
Yeah.
But yeah, it turned out pretty cool, we thought.
Yeah. I'm sure, and it's not hard work to sit there and kiss a guy, right?
I know.
Did you don't really kiss in the commercial though, right?
No.
It's like you turn your head away.
Yeah. That's kind of like the point. It's like
right, like get away from me. It's the attitude,
like,
right?
Dior addict. So it's like, you know, the point is that, like, you know, I spray the perfume and then he's like addicted to the smell and so he's trying to get it and I'm kind of like teasing him and then I turn away. So
yeah.
I know. So it was like a really fun commercial to shoot though.
Dub, sure.
Yeah.
Wow. So yeah, if you guys haven't seen that, go on Kelsey's it's on Instagram too, right?
And Facebook. Both places.
Right. Yeah. You got to follow Kelsey. She's got interesting stuff.
Yeah.
And she's got the best hashtag.
Oh, I know. If you guys don't already or don't know, it's just my name, at Kelsey Bohlen, KelseyBohlen. So, yeah, I'm always posting cool stuff. I'm actually going to be on set later today. I'm working on this film called Flight 192. In out in Hawthorne, or down in Hawthorne,
yeah,
I guess you would say.
Is that like based on a true story or something?
You know, I actually have no idea about the storyline. Okay. I'm just what they call a day player in this one.
All right.
So I assume it's about some sort of flight.
But yeah. Something happens in the flight, right?
Right. But aside from that, I'm not too familiar with the storyline.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you will be, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah. What's going on with the Twin Peaks gig? Did you finish that one? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's not ongoing for you?
No. Well, I know. I'm ready to get one of those ongoing things.
I know. Wouldn't that be cool, huh?
That would be cool.
Yeah.
No, I finished that one. So.
Yeah. Well, keep working. I mean, shit. You know, if I was like 26 years old, I would feel, shit, there's so much time to do so much, you know, still.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, even my age, I guess, is still a lot of time. But you still.
There's a ton of time.
A lot of stuff to experience and to look forward to. I mean, you're just building your career now, you know.
Pretty much, yeah.
Very cool. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of interesting stuff out there. In a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in. We're going to talk about addiction, which is a nice follow-up to yesterday's guest.
Oh, isn't it? We've been on that topic a lot lately.
I know. Well, maybe not by, you know, I mean, we're here to... to deliver.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So if that's what happens in the world and that's the kind of people that come on the show, then that's what we'll do. You know, I mean, it seems very relevant.
I think it's incredibly relevant.
Right.
And so many people just aren't educated about it. And when somebody in their family comes down with an addiction, they, you know, are accusatory and condemn and everything. And like,
and it's all hush hush. Nobody wants to talk about
and
it.
And like he was saying yesterday, it's a brain disease. It's,
right.
You know, it's not necessarily something somebody can help. So, you know, you have to take that into consideration when dealing with it.
Exactly. It's a family disease, you know, and you guys have to understand that. We had a couple of representatives here, more than representatives, but they were from the Betty Ford Center, which is a renowned rehab center for drug and alcohol addiction. And they have this incredible thing because the first thing is they created an outpatient program out here in L.A.
Which is really neat, yeah.
It is, because then people can come from the city, you know. You don't have to go to Palm Springs for that and miss days of work and everything. And the second thing is they made it affordable and attainable because they're taking all major insurance carriers and things like that, whereas before they didn't. So you had to be a rich celebrity to go there, and now you don't, and you still get the great treatment.
All right.
So we highly recommend that. And I'm going to be talking to them today. They might be doing a show as well.
Oh, really?
And that would be cool. You know, I mean, people need to know what they offer because, you know, in addiction, you often feel like you're alone, you know.
Sure.
And they say you can't recover yourself. You can't do it yourself. You have to have, you know, people around you. And it makes sense because when you become an addict, you sort of like... just stay by yourself, you know, you do your own thing.
Sure.
You know, because you can't fit in with other people that don't. I mean,
right.
Can you imagine if you were doing heroin all the time or drinking? You wouldn't be around people.
Right, no.
Right? So I guess you need people to pull out of that hole that you dig yourself into.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about that. But, of course, a couple of big news items today. First of all, it's another primary Tuesday, and we'll get to that in a moment. But the big news is the bombings in Brussels. Have you heard about that one?
Yes.
That was overnight, so some people may have woken up to the news. But ISIS claims that it was behind the terrorist bombings in Belgium, in Brussels, in the airport and at the underground, the metro.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and we have a total of 30 people killed and over 200 people wounded. So this is a major thing, folks, following the Paris attack. And, in fact, some of the investigators are saying it's probably tied to the same people that did that one.
Probably.
Right. So, and it's no wonder because Belgium lately has been like a haven for terrorists, you know? I don't know why.
Yeah, well, because, you know, I guess it kind of backfired their whole neutrality.
Right.
You know, stance.
Right. It's like you can't be neutral. You have to defend yourself, you know, and that's what they don't understand. And they bring in all the refugees that have been infiltrated.
And then now, like, look what happened to the poor people.
Yeah.
You know, it makes you wonder what it's going to come to because it almost has to come to a head at some point.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, like, what's going to happen? I don't know.
Right. Well, yeah, it could get worse and worse, and it's hard. You see, it's harder to wage war these days because, you know, well, our guest is calling in, so let's get back to that
yes.
one. Okay, and we're going to be joined by our guest right now. Howard Beckman, are you with us?
I am, Sam.
Thank you, Howard. Thank you for joining us. I'm here with Kelsey.
Hi.
And
hi, Kelsey. Hello, Sam. And it's my pleasure to be here.
Thank you for having me on. Of course. We're glad to have you. Where are you calling us from this morning?
I'm calling you from sunny Ocala, Florida at the moment.
California?
Ah!
Where is it again?
Ocala. Ocala, Florida.
Oh, Ocala. Wow, where is that?
I have a horse farm here in which I run Ocala Equine Rescue.
Oh, wow. No way. I'm a former professional barrel racer.
Wow.
From Texas.
Oh, cool.
Wow. Well, Howard, you sure know how to live. You know, we just live in the city with a lot of concrete, and that's pretty much it. Although we have nice weather out here.
Mm-hmm.
Have you, Have you always lived out there in Florida?
No. I've only lived in Florida, I think, for about since 2009. Moved from New Mexico, but I've lived all over the planet, to be honest. I lived over a decade in India. I lived for some years in Thailand. I lived in Europe.
Wow.
Yes.
I've definitely been around, up to good and up to no good, depending on what time of my life.
Exactly, and we're going to talk about that. But the point is that you wrote a book called Tempting the Devil in the Name of God. And now, is this fiction or is this a true story of what you went
through? It's a 100% true story.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, I've already laid the test out for a few reporters, and I said, go ahead. And they're a little blown away by my antics some years ago.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, right? So... So you've had a past and stuff, and we'll discuss that in just a second. But currently, we see you're a spiritual teacher, counselor, and motivational speaker. Tell us a little bit about that. What is it exactly that you do?
Well, I'm very much involved now with trying to help young people who are just, their lives are really in ruination due to substance abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So having had so much experience with it, I decided that at this time of my life, I can come out of the closet. I can come out, shall we say, and say, hey, 30 years ago, I was not only a heroin addict, but I was a heroin smuggler. And, they were dire circumstances.
Wow.
Was involved in, and I wrote the title of my book is Tempting the Devil in the Name of God, the Heavy Hand of Fate, because I'd actually been a drug addict for, some time in my teen years. But I straightened up, and I really sincerely began looking for a spiritual reason. For living. There had to be one. There had to be more than just, I got to get a job and work, put food on the table and have kids and this and that. Well, something, I just felt that something inside of me wasn't fulfilled.
Yeah,
so I went on my search, and I ended up joining the Hare Krishnas, actually.
Wow.
Joining the what?
Hare Krishnas.
Back, at that time. And I found that the movement at that time, I met Prabhupada, the spiritual master, and still, to this day, I have never, ever met a person, a human being, who was so knowledgeable and exuded such love.
Wow, so very interesting.
I was just completely enthralled in the philosophy. I think that's really what got me. The yoga philosophy is so deep and heavy, and there's so many scriptures. I really dove into yoga and dove into bhakti yoga, but I was very young and immature.
Right.
And, when you have a lot of bad habits and you try to shove them down and you really haven't healed yourself, you just kind of go, okay, I'm quitting these things now, and that's no more, that's my past, and I'm going to give that up. Well, unless you really know how to change from the inside out, it's going to come up again.
Right.
Kind of like a bubble of air. You can push it underwater, but it's going to come up again, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Just like if there's a bubble of air in the bathtub, what happens, right? It comes up to the top immediately.
Right.
So these desires and these, these things that I bet they came up again. And so here I am thinking, now I'm a man of God. I'm devoting myself to spirituality. I'm devoting myself to reality. I'd gone to India, and I was... And I got waylaid. There were some other people in this movement after our teacher had left the planet, after he died, that were ex-drug dealers and were doing a big smuggling operation.
Oh.
And unfortunately, I allowed myself to get involved with someone doing it, and that was the beginning of the end.
Wow.
And, in the book, my lifestyle, the experiences were very hair-raising. I've been kidnapped.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God, what I've been through, And then being imprisoned in Southeast Asia, in Thailand, for 2.5 years.
Oh, my God.
And I might not have ever gotten out. I mean, finally I did. I managed to bail out, and they dragged me back to the United States, the federal marshals, to face the music here.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Did you do time here?
Yeah, and then I was lucky, really. I got a really good judge, you know. Uh-huh. I mean, I guess my karma was getting a little better at that time, and he gave me a shot.
Wow.
He gave me a shot, and he gave me the lowest possible sentence he could give me, taking into consideration I'd already been overseas imprisoned. And I mean, I really changed from the inside out.
Right.
What I was able to do, Sam and Kelsey, was break myself down. Completely break myself down, and I did it in a dungeon, shackled, and it was, you know, it was sort of, I felt that within me, do or die, whether I get out of here or I die in here, I have to change from the inside, because only my body's going to die, and I just didn't want to end my life that way.
Right. Now, how old were you at the time when this was happening, when you got caught for smuggling?
At the time, I was, let's see now, I was 27.
Oh, my God, you were young.
Young, but you should have known better at that point, right?
Oh, yeah, I should have known better.
Yeah, right. Wow. I mean, you obviously took big chances. Going back to your childhood, what do you think caused you, your soul, to be so restless that you had to travel a lot and look for things and not finding them, and then, you know, acting out in this way? Was there anything in your childhood that would have led you to that path?
I don't think so, other than the times. I mean, it was, I was born in the 50s and, you know, the 1960s, right? I mean, you know, everybody was turning on, tuning in, out. Timothy Leary was huge. I used to go listen to Richard Alpert, and then he became Baba Ram Dass, you know. And, but I went to see, you know, so many gurus and whatnot, you know, this, and really searching. But I don't think it was anything from my childhood other than, you know, the times. It was the times when, you know, everybody, was trying drugs and those things. But I think I was very itchy, and I was never... I never felt that I could just be satisfied with the external.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, get a good job, make a lot of money, and then you're going to be happy. I wasn't sure that they weren't right, but I just had this feeling inside that, I don't know, it seems like there needs to be some more to life.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, now you obviously have a lot of stories to tell, you know, if nothing else.
Yeah.
You've had plenty of time to think about all that stuff, you know. But you know, that's a nice thing is that, you know, like I think in the case of many good stories, yours is a story of survival, of recovery, of you know, fighting the odds, because I think to come back from something like that, I don't know, if I had to sit in an Asian or, you know, some kind of small country in jail there, I don't know what I would do. I would kill myself. I don't think I would have any hope.
You know how many people say that to me?
Really?
Yeah.
Sam, we're survivors.
That's
you don't
true.
Know what you would do until you're there.
I see. I mean, so you always have that hope, huh?
Yeah, you got to. I mean, there's something in us. You ever see, you know, you ever go to, like, if there's an insect or a fly, he won't let you kill him. Nobody wants to die, really.
Right, right. You know? No, that's true. That's true. But
you know,
who wants to live?
Everybody wants to survive, so I had to.
Yeah. You know, but I think some things are worse than death, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. I don't think death is going to be so painful.
Right.
Oh, my God.
You know, birth is a lot more painful. Imagine with your backbone, your knees up into your chest, and you're growing like that, and you're for 9 months in the womb.
Yeah.
That's got to be a little uncomfortable. What do you think?
That's true.
Yeah, I'd say so. So what did they finally get you for? Smuggling?
What did they finally get me for?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, they did not. They came to my place in Thailand, and if they were as good as they are today, they'd have got me, but they didn't.
Oh, my gosh.
We had a huge amount of something very illegal in a water tank on a rope, you know? Backed down about halfway down, and it was down at the bottom, and they just never found it. So they just planted something that, you know, they needed to take me away. So,
oh, you're kidding. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, I've got, you know, one of the cops went outside and after a discussion with the lieutenant and all of a sudden came back in with a nice little bottle of heroin. And I said, we just found this outside on the sidewalk in front of your house.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Well, for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Howard Beckman. He's an author, spiritual teacher, counselor, motivational speaker, and also you rescue horses. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, my wife, I suppose, has been a horsewoman all her life.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, she had horses growing up in England. Where she's from, and so when we moved to New Mexico, that was like a prerequisite for her. We had some horses to move to Santa Fe.
So, yeah, you know.
I'd ridden before and started getting into it, and it just sort of happened that we started rescuing a few that needed it, and then we came to Florida in 2009. And we saw a great need, and I don't know, it just kind of started happening.
Right.
You know, we just started doing it, and I have to say, they've changed my life again.
Wow. Yeah.
I bet.
I bet.
And now what we're doing next year is we're instituting an equine therapy program.
Oh, that'll be great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
What do you mean
they're great equine healers, horses? They really are.
Oh, really? So now, my question to you is, it makes me wonder, because I never thought about horses being abandoned or mm-hmm. needing rescue, because they cost a lot. I wouldn't think anybody would dump a horse, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
they do.
Really?
I live in what is called, nicknamed, the horse capital of the world.
Wow.
There are more horses bred and raised here than anywhere else. And, you know, they mostly raise here, they raise thoroughbreds more than anything else for racing.
Mm-hmm.
And barely 20% ever enter it.
Right.
What do you think happens to the other 80%?
Wow.
And of those 20%, how many do you think become winners?
Right.
Right? You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's really terrible.
Wow.
You know, what is going on, and, you know, being that it's a society that tends not to value animal life, you know, as much as I feel personally,
right,
that all living beings should be honored, you know,
yes,
sentient living beings in that way. So, you know, we have a huge problem.
Yeah.
You know, we just have a huge problem with them being banned. I can't even put a sign out in front of my farm. I mean, no way. If I had a sign out there and everybody knew where we were, every day I'd go out and probably find a half dozen or more horses.
Wow. They just dump them there in front of your door, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
How
terrible. Well, thank goodness for people like you, you know, and your wife who are helping out and stuff. I mean, somebody's got to do it. And that's the thing, is most people aren't even aware of what's going on, you know.
Right. Well, it's all a part, to be honest, of my trying to address, you know, the problem of drug addiction and how there's so many ways you can change yourself.
How did you do that? That's what I want to know. I mean,
you know, many people, you know, have found 12-step programs,
sure,
right, that help them. So my program was really a condensed one, I suppose,
mm-hmm,
like that. But I developed a meditation program, and it was interesting when I got out about a year. There was a show once on the television I saw on Vipassana meditation. Have you ever heard of that?
I haven't, no.
No, I haven't
okay,
either.
Okay, Vipassana, it's a Buddhist meditation where they sit, and they sit for hours and hours and hours. I mean, you may sit for a whole day.
Oh, my God.
And what happens is that what's inside of you, all the thoughts, things, your emotions, things come out, and you're forced to face your deepest fears and your deepest, you know, your deepest joys, your deepest everything. And I went through that, not just for hours, for days.
So you just sat there and thought about everything?
Yeah, and months.
Wow.
And then I called on the knowledge that I had. I'd learned how to do meditation, and I'd learned yoga asana, and so I called on that to some point, and I was actually able to effect a change.
That's
I was able
so
to effect
cool.
a change in myself that I just felt more, it's hard to believe, but I felt more alive than I had for many years.
Yeah, well, it makes sense, you know. I mean, the thing is that you got to have a purpose in life. Obviously, you turned your life around 180. I mean, it's unbelievable all the positive that you're doing now after behaving selfishly for years when you were younger.
Yeah, well, I do the best that, you know, I can. And, you know, I have a very unusual occupation as well.
What is that? Yeah.
You know, I mean, not just that, but I'm also a Vedic astrologer.
Oh.
Really? And what does that tell us?
Well, I mean, you know what astrology is, right? Astrology is the study of the, you know, of the movements of the heavenly bodies and
right.
how their electromagnetic energy affects us here on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So Vedic astrology is absolutely mind-boggling as far as a predictive system where if we get accurate birth data, and the astrologer has to be experienced and, you know, also very intuitive. I mean, you know, you have to live a commensurate lifestyle, I suppose. But it is so accurate that it just blows you away. So the thing is I've been able to help people by really helping them to understand what's inside of them.
Yeah.
You know, how they think, how they act, why they do, and why, you know, understanding, shall we say, why a person is born with certain karma, shall we say, how can we give an answer to that, right?
Right.
That's like impossible. But we can understand how life, in a general way, is going to transpire.
That's true.
What's going to happen? What's more likely to happen? In what areas would you be successful? You know, so I always say to be forewarned is to be forearmed. And I spent years studying astrology when I was locked up.
Oh,
wow! Well, a lot of good came out of that. The book is Tempting the Devil in the Name of God, The Heavy Hand of Fate, Howard Beckman. Howard, how can people find out more about you, about the book, contact you?
Well, howardbeckman.com can see the video book trailer there and books available, plus a lot of reviews, and it's available everywhere. I mean, if you go on to amazon.com, it's selling really well there, and there's a ton of reader reviews, media reviews, as well.
Awesome.
That people can check it out, and if they're interested in the other work that we do,
yes.
vedicworld.org. is our site, and Ocal Equine Rescue also has a link on the homepage there too.
I see. So Vedic, is that from Ayurveda? Is that where
yes.
the okay?
Yes.
All
I
right.
mean, the Vedas are the ancient body of knowledge from India.
Oh, okay.
And within that is yoga.
Uh-huh.
Within that is Ayurveda, the system of medicine. Within that is what is called in Sanskrit Jyotish, which is what Vedic astrology. Jyotish means the science of light.
Right.
So there's so many sciences within the Vedic scriptures, and so they are. They're very much something to take notice of.
Yeah.
More so than any religious scriptures, and I've done a lot of studying in my life.
Wow, that sounds interesting. I'm definitely going to look more into it. What's that website again?
Yeah, Vedic World, that's V-E-D-I-C,
uh-huh.
World, W-O-R-L-D, .org.
Okay, sounds great.
Easy enough.
Yeah. Howard, thank you so much for joining us this morning. You're fascinating.
Thank you so much, Sam and Kelsey, for having me on.
Of course.
Our pleasure.
We wish you the best, and everybody go and review the book. We'll give you a review as well, and I'm glad to hear you're doing well. It's not possible that you wouldn't be, because you're doing so many great positive things, and we salute you for that.
Well, thank you both so much, and
okay.
thank you for your kind kind words, and I will continue to do the best I can.
Absolutely. And if anybody needs a place for their horses, Howard will take 1,000 of them.
Yeah, just dump them. We're dumping them out. With people here that you know really help them.
Yeah,
help them.
I know. Obviously, it's not a funny thing, but it is. It is a sad thing that people would dump their horses and lose interest in them, and that's a sad thing that happens. Like you said, with a lot of animals, and hopefully, maybe that'll change one day.
We're hoping so.
Yeah. Thank you so much. All the best to you. And if you're ever in L.A., you're more than welcome to come on the show.
Oh, well, thank you, Sam. I do get down there once in a while.
Yay.
So I'll pull your chain before that.
Yes. Good. Thank you. Bye-bye, Howard.
Bye.
All right. Thank you both so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Wow. I'm trying to picture where he lives, you know.
I know.
Ocala, Florida.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I know. It's like some people know how to live, you know.
It sounds kind of like my ranch in Texas.
Yeah, what are we doing in the city, for crying out loud?
I don't know. It's a good
question. It shows you how you can get inspired to do all these great things when you're like out in the country with a ranch or something.
You have time to breathe and space to breathe. And you know what is so funny, too? Yeah. I actually don't even realize how much I miss wide open spaces until I go there.
Really?
Yeah. Like, you know, I was working a job a little bit out of the city last week, I think it was, and I looked up and I saw stars and I thought, oh my gosh, how beautiful. And it occurred to me that it had been like weeks since I saw stars.
Wow.
You know? Because we don't see them here.
I know.
You know?
I know.
So anyways, it's nice to see fields and space.
I know. Wow. Now I really get the urge to go somewhere.
I know.
Anywhere.
And that's the good thing about LA, though, is you actually don't have to go very far.
That's
to
true,
get that.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you really only have to go like an hour away.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. In any direction, you'll get
pretty much, yeah.
Mountains or desert or lakes or the beach or.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. We're in the best place in the world to live, I'm telling you.
But it's really amazing to hear his story. I mean, what a strong guy.
Right?
I want what he's taking.
Well, look at that Vedic astrology. I mean, it sounds fascinating.
Goodness.
I'm going to check it out. If he says it's very predictive and accurate, I'll check it out.
My gosh. But I don't know if I want to know predictive.
Right.
You know, I guess like.
No, but that's the beautiful thing about life and the creation, because somehow somebody figured out we probably don't want to know in advance what's going to happen.
Right.
You know, that would screw up the whole meaning of life, I think.
I agree.
And that's some of the things we were talking about last night at that lecture, you know. That's why I love stimulating stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
It's deep. It's deep.
It is.
Yeah. But everyone, check out Howard Beckman's site. It's Howard Beckman, BECKMAN.com. He was talking about Thailand. It turns out that Bangkok is the busiest city in the world to drive in for rush hour.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's not even L.A., as we all might be tempted to think.
I know.
But, yeah, also don't forget, you know, we've got like China and India, I think, that are much worse than we have it here. I think we have it maybe the worst in the country, but not
sure.
in the world, you know.
Sure. Yeah, that's crazy. My sister and my cousin are actually going to Thailand this summer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. They're going for like a week or a week and a half or something like that. So,
yeah.
Which will be exciting. I personally have never traveled out that way.
Yeah, I know. I've never been to Asia either, but it's supposed to be nice. But you have to be prepared for the culture, you know what I mean? A lot of people, a lot of density, you know, a lot of cars. Some places have pollution and everything. But at the same time, there's a lot of beautiful places in Thailand.
Yeah, I mean, I see pictures and I will go one day, but I've never been strongly pulled to it.
Right. I
mean,
know.
I'm more...
Like Europe?
I'm more pulled to Europe.
I know,
and,
me too.
you know... Even like Canada and, you know.
You like Mexico too, though,
Mexico,
right?
Mexico, the islands, South America, Costa Rica. I've been there a couple times. I love it down there. So, yeah, I've always been more inclined to travel that way.
Yeah, yeah. I know, but maybe it's time we did travel to Asia, you know, see how the other half lives.
Right.
Yeah. But the thing is that... If I go to Asia, it's going to be to a modern place like Japan or something.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to go really to a place like India or something. I don't know. I just have, it has no appeal to me whatsoever.
Really?
Yeah. So anyway.
Me neither, to be honest.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I know. Give us the comfort of America.
Yes. I mean, even traveling in Europe, I was a little put off by the size of, like, the hotel rooms.
Right? Yeah.
That were, like, ridiculously small, in
ridiculously
my opinion.
Small. And then all the facilities and accessories are weird, like the shower and the toilets. And
I know. And I mean, right? For the amount we were paying, like, it should have been a lot nicer.
Exactly, right? And it's older hotels and shit, dumps. I know. That's what Europe is.
And, you know, people rave about the food, but, oh, I've never been so happy to get back to America for the food here. I'm like, what are you talking about, the food?
Well, I guess it depends where you eat, you know, because Italy is pretty good. France, I think, is pretty good with food.
Yeah.
The UK is not known very much for its good food. And you're right, you know, I mean, some places are not great with food, but... Yeah, I guess it does depend where you travel in Europe.
Yeah,
you
know? I shouldn't knock it. I mean, there were things I loved about Europe, definitely. But I'm an American through and through.
So. No, I know, but I get drawn to Europe, too. I don't know why. I mean, history and culture and everything.
You know?
Yeah, so, well, that's where our origins are from. It's no wonder, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really, really want to go to Greece.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
That's where my dad was born.
Really?
Yes.
We were just talking about that the other day.
Really?
It's like on my list. Yeah, that's one. That's somewhere I definitely want to go.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I went there, I must have been like 11 years old or 13.
Yeah.
I don't remember that much. Mm-hmm. I remember it was great. My dad was born there, but he was a year old when they left. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so he doesn't really remember anything from that. But it is beautiful. People say it's beautiful, and the islands are just like in the movies.
That's
you know?
Where I. Well, I mean, I am just fascinated with
that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and I think what I love about Mexico is just the people and the culture.
Yeah, right.
Everybody's just so nice and carefree and lighthearted, and I'm into that. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the movie Summer Lovers? It was it was some time ago, but it was about the young people. Traveling to the Greek Isles, and was it with Daryl Hannah, I think? There were two girls and one guy, and there was like a triangle of romance there and all that stuff.
Oh, gosh.
But you get to see the islands, and it's really cool, you know? It's just majestic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it'll happen because we're doing really, really good with Jimra. It's
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're getting so many new members every day just with a little bit of advertising. So we're hoping that it keeps kind of snowballing and
Very nice.
Get to make a real career out of it.
Yeah. Well, very good for you. I mean, I'm impressed, you know, because you started with nothing pretty much, right?
Pretty much.
I mean, you started from nothing, let's
say. I mean,
say.
We had some capital, but it wasn't...
But the business itself did not exist.
Oh,
and
no.
You raised it from nothing.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So do you have, like, partners and stuff? I mean...
Yeah.
How many? Do. Can we ask?
Sure, three.
Three partners.
Yeah,
oh,
three
so you're the fourth?
Yes.
Oh, wow. You see, that's cool. It's teamwork.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's great.
And four people being able to get along and work towards a common
well,
goal.
Well, some of them, they're pretty much all silent partners.
Oh, okay. So, but you get to be active.
Right.
Nice.
But yeah, and you know, everybody has kind of their... specialty. Someone's like the finance guy, and then
good. That's how it should
like
be.
A CTO, and so yeah,
uh-huh.
it's good.
Well, very good. And how long have you guys been online with the website?
Oh God, about 2.5 years.
Two and a half
like
years.
Yeah,
and you've built quite a following.
Yeah, we
yeah,
have.
So you have a good product, obviously.
Oh, we think so.
Yeah.
We think so. We want to like get even bigger though.
Yeah.
So.
Well, obviously that's a good goal. So please help Kelsey get bigger.
Yeah.
by going to Jimra.com. How's it spelled, Kelsey?
Gymra.
Gymra.com. Pretty easy name.
Yeah, it's really easy. And you know what we did that kind of helped a lot is we just, I was telling you the other day, actually, we just took the credit card requirement off when they first
for the trial, right.
Because the trial was free anyways for the first 30 days, but we required a credit card, but now we don't. We're just like, whatever.
Right.
And the conversion rate is even increasing, though, because we know that, like, once people see it, they're going to love it, and they're going to want to pay $4.99 a month, you know?
Right.
So
it's not expensive.
No.
It's a good price point.
I know. So everybody, pretty much people are, they're like, oh, sure, no credit card. Why not? I'll join. And so they join, and then they see it, and they love it, and then they pay, and they stay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you might have to raise your prices or really get a lot of users, but that's the thing. I think you will, because on the internet, the more time you have presence there, the more you're going to get. You know, it's just a question of hitting that critical mass where there's just a breakthrough and, you know, and something happens.
Yeah, you have to have a little bit of a break somewhere in there, you know?
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, look, keep doing what you're doing. I mean, obviously, you're not alone in this. You've got other people that believe in this and work towards the same thing. Right?
Yes.
So that's a good thing. Do you guys have employees, too?
We do.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's actual offices and stuff, or people really work at home?
We used to have an office.
Right.
But now we don't.
You don't really need one,
right?
Everybody works at home.
And it's a very small
company,
yeah. I mean, so it's, you know, there's an editor, and then there's like a social media manager, Ida, and so, you know, there are a few employees, sure, but it's not huge.
Right?
It's not huge, no.
Right. So, I mean, that's the thing. You see, people work virtually these days, where you don't have to be physically in the same place as your colleagues.
No, that's the nice part. I mean, our CTO is like in Canada.
Really?
Can you believe it?
Yeah. Wow.
I know.
Yeah, interesting. People work together for, all over the world.
I know. Right now, he's actually in Iran, like, because we have some programmers over there that we're outsourcing some stuff through.
Right.
And so, yeah, he's kind of corralling the troops over there. Yeah.
What was that about the post that you got where you got only Arabic responses?
Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't even understand one comment of what they said, but several fans of Kelsey's were posting. Apparently, they were all like from maybe like Saudi Arabia, Dubai, where Abu Dhabi, wherever.
Yeah.
But Arabic names and writing in Arabic. Did you bother to translate what they were saying?
Okay, so something is amiss with my phone. And my translate, you know how it always has the option to translate?
Right? Yes.
Well, mine doesn't have it anymore. And I don't know why.
Oh, really? On the
phone? Yeah, yeah. And so I used to translate them all just out of curiosity.
Right.
But now I just...
So do it on your computer, and then you'll be able to.
Yeah.
But I wonder what they're saying.
Oh, they're just like, you're so pretty, or whatever.
Yeah, right?
That's usually, I love you, Kelsey. They say that a lot. But,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I love them. They're really sweet.
Yeah. That's cool. You're an international star.
Oh, gosh.
Well, yeah. I mean, South Africa and everything, right? People watch the show that you're telenovela.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Do you have a website that people can check out, too? Or
sure.
Or only social networks?
I mean, you know, social networks, of course. It's just all just my name, Kelsey Bolin. But you can go to www.kelseybolin.com. Net and that's my website.
Oh wow, let's check it out.
Oh gosh.
No, because I want to see that, because you know what the funny thing is, that people don't focus as much on websites anymore. It used to be like everybody had to have a website,
right?
Now it's social networks, right?
Sure, yeah.
But wow, what a website. Look at all these
pictures
and stuff.
I know. I couldn't believe it when I got the bill from my IT guy. I was like, goodness.
Really?
You must have done a lot of work on this.
Yeah.
But no, I joke. He does a really good job and, you know, puts a lot of time into it. But
Yeah, no, they I mean, what is the most important thing, I think, in a website is the graphics, the photos, and there's some amazing photos here and videos too,
right? It's just, yeah, it's really simple. You know, it's really simple. It's kind of just like a digital resume, basically.
That's what it should be.
You know, I have commercials, I have web, I have, you know.
Yeah.
Just little samples of everything I do. And because I do so many things that it's kind of hard to to even... It was prior to having my website, it was kind of hard to even direct people.
Right.
And, you know, I don't want to send them a million links because that's just annoying.
That's true.
So now I just send them one link and it's my website with pretty much everything on it.
Exactly. And that's the best way to do it, I think. And obviously every website today has the links to social networks. So why have to memorize everything?
Right.
But, yeah, you'll definitely... leave a lot of pictures behind you when you finally depart this world, right?
Oh, my God, I know. I know.
Can you imagine how many? I mean, just think of your kids going, wow, you know. I mean, like, I remember when we looked at our parents' pictures, there weren't that many.
Well, it's a different time.
That's the thing. We document everything now.
Yeah, I mean, just it's the digital age, and it's so different. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, our kids will be able to see pictures that maybe they shouldn't see.
Yeah, exactly.
There's going to be lots, though.
Yeah. So, we'll see. My son is in town, apparently, because I saw on Facebook.
What? He didn't even tell you?
He doesn't bother because he's a little mad at me because I cut him off.
Did you?
But, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, but it was nothing in spite. There was nothing like that. I had a conversation with both him and his sister, okay, and explained the financial situation to them. And I said, you know, I can't do it anymore. And so they both got irritated. My daughter, we're in touch. She's in town, but my son's out of town at college, and I think he's still pissed, though I thought we had a very good conversation about it. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so... but you know what? The point is, even when he's not mad, he wouldn't tell me he's in town. Yeah, I have
really?
To find out for Facebook. Yeah, I don't know what it is, man. 22 years old. Come on, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Give me a break. I love them to death.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it for today. Thank you to Howard Beckman for calling in. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Kelsey, thank you for always being there and adding to the fun.
Of course.
And thank you, guys, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.